Alright, this morning I'm going to continue in this Seasons of Life, and the scripture is, as you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But in particular this morning I'm going to talk about the spiritual season of summer. And so I'm going to read just a very short but the verses from Proverbs chapter 6, please. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, and I just read 3 verses, 6 to verse 8. So please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, read from verse 6 to verse 8. Alright, verse 6 says, "Go to the end, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." And so here, summer is associated with harvest, and that is where she get her food supply from. All right, so let us pray. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of your Son Jesus, and there are many things that happen in our life, and some, Lord, sometimes it's hard times, sometimes it's good times, but we don't know, Lord, why. And therefore, Lord, we go into your scripture and search your word, and we want to understand the seasons of the time, the seasons of the hour, and the seasons of our life. So I pray, Lord, as this word is being preached and taught, Lord, that wisdom will be imparted in the hearts of the people, and that they will be able to have a discerning heart, and they know the seasons, Lord, that you are bringing forth in their life and in the world. And so I pray, Father, Lord, for greater understanding of your word, and I ask, Father, your people to be receptive to your word, and that they will have a hearing ear and a receptive heart, and every word that is spoken will be alive. Not only it impart wisdom, but it will impart faith, impart, Lord, life into them. More of your life, more of your Zoe life into our being, that we may live our life to glorify you. So in the name of your Son, we ask your holy presence to be here to glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now, as you know, I'm speaking on growing strong in the seasons of life. And each season is very unique, and each season has a particular purpose, and it adds a different dimensions to our life. And so I've covered in my last sermon, the spiritual seasons of spring. And let us do a quick recap. What are some of the experiences that you encounter during the spring season? Right. First thing is, it is a time of new beginning, new life, and a new chapter. And even though you may be a new creation in the Lord Jesus, God gives you new chapter every other few years or few months. And then the second experience is a time of spring cleaning. Third is being a time of refreshing and renewal in God's presence. And fourth is a time of spontaneous singing. And fifth is a time, is an opportune time of visitation. And today I'm going to speak on the spiritual seasons of summer. As you know, during summer, the daylight and the sunshine hours continue to increase. And as a result, the ground and the air temperature increase by the weeks. And this increase provides the abundant light for the leaves of the plant to churn out more sugar. And there's this surge of energy production in the plant and in the crops, and allow the plants to complete the growth in the branches and the leaf, so that the next focus will be moving into fruit bearing. And while the preceding spring season is associated with flowers, for any crops or fruits that we rather for any crops and plants that we plant, we want the flowers to turn into crops, into fruits, into grain harvesting. So the question we ask is, what are the experiences or activities during the time of summer? Now, the time of summer is a time of harvest. It's a time of intense work. As I said, it is the grain and the fruit harvest that we are ultimately after. And so if spring is about potential promises and new opportunities and possibility, summer is when the seeds that we planted during the prior seasons begin to mature into full-size fruit and grain. And therefore, summer is a season of work to reap what we have sown during the prior season. And for us, as urban city dwellers, we think of summer as a time of holiday. When we take a break, when we take a time to travel, to go overseas and enjoy and explore new places. Now, because we are so disconnected from the farming community, we are not aware of the farming activity that takes place during summer. Now, summer is not a time of holiday for the farmers. Summer is a time of harvesting. And this is the goal of growing those plants and crops. And during summer, of course, weather-wise, it can be very hot and dry. And yet, that heat is what actually brings forth the final produce of the field. Now, it may feel like the most desirable or the most undesirable thing to do during summer is to work in the open field because it's very hot. Yet, that is the very climate that causes the plants to be fruitful. And therefore, during harvest, much work is required to get each crop from the field to the place of storage and use. And the farmer cannot stop work until all the harvesting activity is completed. And a field that is full of fruit is only of benefit when it is put into the barn or they are being harvested. The harvest is the what they call the last push to bring everything to its goal. It is the most intense time of the year. And during this period, the farmers will work long hours. And there is an old expression, make hay while the sun shines. It is not an exaggeration. And once the crop reaches the peak of ripeness, there is only so much time before they start to deteriorate. And farmers need to capture the harvest during the fruit maturity period. And if the harvested crops must be further processed for preservation or for bottling, then that process that accompany that harvest must also operate with the same long hours. And we come back to Proverbs chapter 6. It says, consider the ends. This is the word of wisdom. He considered the ways of the ants. He says that they have no supervisor, they have no foreman, they have no leader, but yet provides her supplies in the summer, and they gather the food supply during the harvest. And therefore, gathering the food supply during harvest season is essential. It is not optional. It is mandatory. It is a proper season to do these things. And by analogy, a person who does not follow the same example is considered lazy. By not working hard in the designated season, these people will have to beg when the winter season comes. It is a season when one must be willing to work long hours. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 9, verse 4, he says that I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. The second experience in summer. It is a time of great exploit. Now, to some of you, you may not think so. But I'm believing that we are going into the last days. And then when going to the last days, you know, the Spirit of God will come in a mighty way to reap a big harvest. And we are going to, not only pastors or leaders, ordinary person, people like you, is going to into a time of great exploit. And therefore, I want you to relate to what I'm saying here. Because some of you are thinking, you know, this is only for leaders. It is not. As preacher's summer is marked by much increase and great exploit. It is a time when one reaches the peak or the crest of the ministry for that particular period. And during spiritual summer, you are being stretched by greater opportunity and intensity of service to the Lord. It is an exciting phase of your ministry. One will experience breakthrough upon breakthrough. Many of you have been praying for many things, you know, and you don't experience the breakthrough. But when you go into your spiritual summer, it is very different. It is breakthrough upon breakthrough. It is a time of optimism. Faith is running high. And it is a time of branching out and spiritual enlargement, and you have a high sense of fulfillment and achievement. You have the satisfaction of seeing more tangible results than ever before in your life. And you are being thrust out into the deep, and you're sent out to fight the spiritual battle. But this battle is going to be quite different. In what sense it is different? Because it is not going to be a struggle. It is a battle that you will always win. It is a season of many spiritual conquests, a time of enlargement, enlarging your frontiers. Of the many imagery that we gave Jesus, or the Bible said about Jesus, Jesus, one of the imagery is Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And in this imagery, he reveals himself as the fearless, bold, and conquering king. And during summer, you will receive and you will experience the lion nature of this ministry. And you're going to be bold and courageous, confident in the Lord, and moving in many healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. And you are entering into your potential and a powerful anointing in Christ Jesus. And as you strive to reach your spiritual optimum, your life will become much more productive. You will be able to accomplish much more for the kingdom of God. And one of the life most rewarding experiences is to be given the high honor of standing and ministering in the power and the glory of God. And the results of prayer are almost quick and instantaneous. You can literally feel the power of God flowing through your hands as you pray for people. And when you pray for the sick, they will get quick results. They will get healed immediately. And when you cast out demons, you know, they will groan and they will scream in fear and they'll flee at your command. And it is during this time that you feel that your spiritual, what you call aspiration, and your dreams come to fruition. And God empower you with so much authority and power that it will enable you to rule and to reign with him. And there was a psalm, Psalms 18, verse 32 to verse 37. It described it this way. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. And he set me on high places. It says, you teaches my hand, or rather he teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. And he says, you have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again until they were all destroyed. I have wounded them so that they would not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with the strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. This is, you know, your feeling. This is what the ambience of victory when you're going into spiritual summer. And during this period, you are empowered with supernatural faith and boldness to execute all the things that God has placed in your heart. And many good things are going to happen in your life. And you are loving life and you will celebrate it. And then, of course, the third experience is a time of prominence and influence. And because you are reaping an abundant harvest of soul, you are doing great exploits and moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, your ministry, your name, your circle of influence begin to increase tremendously beyond your local arena. And though you may be a relatively unknown person in the past, but things are going to be changed, or rather it's going to be so different, because you experience good success, you have good harvest, and you are doing great exploit. I mean, many people is going to come to hear of you. And they will start to invite you to their churches and nation to speak and to minister. Your audience size is going to increase significantly. And you will stand before dignitary and VIP. And they will listen to you attentively, what you have to say. And what you say and what you do is going to carry much weight. And many people want to befriend you because of your increasing prominence and influence. And even many of your old enemies want to become your friends. And you will receive so many invitations that you wish there were more than 24 hours in a day. And everything that your finger touch seems to turn into gold. And you begin to thrive. You begin to flourish. And you seem to have ascended to the crest or the peak in your ministry. But at the same time, you feel that there is no limit in what you can do. Your thinking and your feeling is this. The sky is the limit. The pace of life is going to accelerate even further. Contending more and more of your time. And you move from the fast lane track to the super fast lane. And you will attain a good measure of wealth, fame, prominence, and influence. And your name is going to begin to spread abroad and afar. An example of this is in this category would be King Solomon. You know the story of King Solomon. And he became so famous and so prominent that even Queen Sheba from Africa, you know, came to hear his words of wisdom. I will not go into the details due to the time limit, but most of you know the story. However, the spiritual height of summer is not without its peril. So what are the perils? Now, of all those four spiritual seasons, summer is the most perilous if you are not careful. While during the trying seasons of spiritual winter, many servants of God are prone to give up. But during the summer of spiritual heights, many or a good number of God's servants fall and they crash in their different types of vices and scandal. And many end up as summer casualty because of prominence and success. And some fall because of the inability to cope with the ministry rapid pace of new situation. And some start in the spirit, but they end up in the flesh. And indeed, this summer of sweet success is often fraught with many dangers. And one must remain vigilant. In the Bible, there is a verse that says, Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, he says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And one can extend this principle and to say that many are called, few are chosen, but fewer still are found and proven to be faithful. Only by going through the summer trial by fire will you know what is really inside you. Never are humility, self-control, maturity, character tested far more in one's life than in this spiritual season of summer. It is here that you need to lean more on the Holy Spirit in a greater measure. The psalmist prayed in 17:5. He says, "Uphold my steps in your path, that my footsteps may not slip." And the trial and the test that you experience during the summer can be very different in nature to those encountered in the other three seasons. During spiritual summer, when you begin to enjoy increased prosperity, fame, you will be tested in all three areas of your life. The body, the soul, and the spirit. And in John chapter 2, verse 16, they call it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The late respected minister Derek Prince is called this test of success. Not many people are capable of handling power, prominence, and prosperity. And when put to the hot test of spiritual summer, many have failed in those areas. And even for those who pass the severe test of cold and harsh winter with flying colors, one may find the hot test of summer unbearable. And this is one of the main reasons why God has often withheld the greater dimensions of His glory and power until the human vessel is ready to receive it. And every occupation has its hazard. And Christian ministry is no different. In fact, for Christian, it's even worse. Because prominent Christian minister become the main target of the devil. And these are the people that the devil can inflict greater damage to the kingdom of God. So now I come to the details. So what are the perils that we face during summer? Now I will cover some of the uncommon ones. First is the danger of being driven. Some people become very driven for some reasons. And God can start in the spirit, but man can turn it into something of the flesh. And if you are driven to prove that you are somebody or that you are significant, danger is just lurking around the corner during your time of success in summer. And this problem is further complicated or compounded when these driven people wanted to prove their significance, and they may think that they are doing everything for God's glory, when in reality, it is their motive is self. That is why Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 to verse 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searched the heart." He says, "I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." Therefore, it is very important to discern what is the motive in your heart. If the motivation is from the Lord, you will sense that you are leading or you are being led from the front by the Holy Spirit. And there is no undue pressure. But if your motivation is self-ambition, or if it is prompted by the devil, then you will feel that you are being driven, you are being pushed from behind. That is the difference. The difference between being led and being driven. Now, a driven person likes to move everything fast and keep running in high gear. And during time of high activity and business, a driven person will keep hurrying and rushing to get more things done to attain greatness. The highly driven person is brash and impatient with the people. And he tends to act hastily, just like driving a super fast car. Things become very blurry around you, getting blurry. A highly driven person perceives and assesses life situation less clearly than one that is not driven. And he is more likely to make mistakes. Consequently, his sense of judgment is often impaired. And to avoid making poor or bad decisions, you need to decelerate, take time to listen to the Lord for direction. Remember, the Lord is never in a panic mode. He is never hasty. And then the second peril, taking God's anointing for granted. It is quite easy for a person who constantly ministers under God's strong and powerful anointing to forget that the power and the authority comes from the Lord. And he may be so accustomed to be ministering under the strong anointing to the point where he takes God's anointing for granted and assume that strong anointing is his self-earned right. Subconsciously, he may be deluded into thinking that the rich anointing is there to stay forever. And when one is strong, of course, there is a tendency to think that it is one's own strength and power instead of the Lord. And a prime example that I'd like to give you is someone who fell into thinking or taking God's power for granted. One classic example is Samson. At one time, Samson was able to perform many phenomenal feats. And it astounded not only his enemy, but also his own people. And he was able to do superhuman feats because the Lord was with him. After he broke the Nazarite vows a few times God in His grace and mercy still retain His supernatural human strength. But Samson keep abusing God's grace until it crossed a line. The grace of God is not a license to sin. It is not a blank check. It has a withdrawal limit. And the Spirit of God eventually left him. And consequently, Samson lost his supernatural strength. Without the Lord, he was just like any weak, limited human vessel. And we must remember that apart from God, we can do nothing. And if God withdraw himself from us, we become powerless. Without his counsel and guidance, we will not know the wisdom of his ways, and we will err. And when we become self-sufficient and we forsake our dependence on the Holy Spirit, we will be just like Samson with his hair shaven and become powerless. It is a reminder to us. Psalm chapter 62 verse 11 says, God has spoken once. Twice I've heard this. He said, power belongs to God. So never be over familiar with God and takes God's anointing and blessing for granted. And then the third peril is the danger of pride. Now some of the most perilous times in the life of a minister usually occur after very successful meeting and receiving some big breakthrough. This is when the minister's head gets puffed up and he lowers his guard. And when one is enjoying the summer success, the strings of success, pride may just slowly creep into one's life. One may start to boast of one achievement and take credit for all the things that are accomplished. If one is not watchful, one may be tempted to believe he is the man of power for the hour. Now, unfortunately, many who rose to international fame end up in international shame. And for many, the main cause for their downfall is pride. Lucifer is a classic example. And when Lucifer became proud, he fell. Proverbs 16:18 says it this way, pride comes before a fall. And the Bible says of him, your heart was lifted up. He becomes proud. Because of your beauty, you corrupted the wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Ezekiel 28 verse 17. The same things happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. You can read it in Daniel chapter 4 verse 2. He was walking in the royal palace one day and he said, Is this not the great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in his mouth, the God judged him. He was turned into a beast that very hour, and he was driven from men, and he ate grass ate grass like oxen for 7 years. Sometimes some successful ministers tend to lose their graciousness, patience, and tenderness once they reach the spiritual summertime of success. They end up having a harsh and a hard spirit. And you can sense it from the expression, the tone of the voice, the body language. They have this camouflage attitude of despising those whose ministry seems small and insignificant in their eyes. And the Lord says, he receives the proud and he gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. And Matthew chapter 23 verse 12 says, also saying, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will eventually be exalted. And one must not forget their days of humble beginning and to remain humble. The fourth peril, the danger of greed, manipulation, and control. And those who are in positions of increased power and authority have to be aware of the tendency of wanting more and more. Success can be very intoxicating and make you lose your senses. They become greedy. They begin to control and manipulate people in the name of God to further their own personal wealth and agenda. And one must not merchandise the gospel or abuse his authority and power entrusted by God. That is why Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18, he says, "What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel." And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3 admonishes pastors and leaders not to lord over those who are entrusted to them. They are to set examples as servant leaders. The exercise of manipulation normally reveals that the leader is insecure. Moreover, manipulation and control is a form of witchcraft. Having mentioned some of this peril, so the question that you want to ask, so what wise counsel are we to take heed to avoid falling into some of these potential perils and pitfalls? So I'll give you a couple of them. Some of the wise counsel. First one, pacing yourself. The Christian race is not a sprint, but a marathon. Even a marathon is an underestimation. It's called a long marathon. It requires endurance and good pacing. For example, many good sportsmen loses their race in running the marathon because they did not pace themselves properly. And some of them have a very impressive start. The crowd is so impressed that they thought that they conclude that they will be sure winners. The fast start can cause them to run out of stamina near the end of the long haul. Imagine the surprise when it comes to the end or near the end. They begin to falter and worst of all, fall out of the race. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 8 says, "The end of a thing is better than its beginning." It is therefore unwise to overcommit too many activities for yourself during the busy time of spiritual summer. A rubber band that is overstretched will break and loses its elasticity. Recognize that there's only 24 hours in a day, that you are human and you have limits. We are not supermen, neither are we superwomen. We all need basic rest. There's no need, or rather, there is a need to spend time with the Lord to replenish your reserve. And number two, you need to be accountable and submitted. And so, even when one receives good success from the Lord in terms of good harvest, in terms of strong and powerful anointing, one must not assume that one is always right. And there are two safeguards in our life and ministry, and that remain as long as we live. What are the two safeguards? They are teachability and accountability to your leader, or accountable to a collective leadership like the board, or those who have proven to be your trusted friend. That is why Proverbs 27, there's a verse that says, "Faithful are the wounds of the friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful." We invite trouble when we do not take heed the counsel of others. Still, we all have blind spots. There are always areas others can see better than us. So the input from others must be appreciated. If there is a chance that others are wrong, take the time, take the trouble, and have a second opinion from some godly Christian around you. Trusted friends, please be not be afraid to be frank, to speak up. If it is true, tell your good friend that it is true, that he or she needs correction. And so this is for the sake of God's kingdom. Proverbs 10 verse 17, "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray." Number three, very neglected area, securing the home front. During the extra busy time of success, the minister is often left with little or no time to spend with the family. Everything and almost everyone seems to make demands on his time, and too often the needs of the family are neglected. And this is not healthy, as it gives room for the enemy to sow seeds of this resentment, bitterness in the marriage and in the family. And as a result, many marriages break down. Many PK, called pastor kids, become wayward. This is very real. I've seen many pastor kids who become bitter and resentful because the father neglected spending time with them. And the key is maintaining priority and balance in the time spent with God, the family, ministry, in that order. So be wise. Do not allow the enemy to exploit this potential fault line. It is a bad testimony to save thousands of souls but not able to save your own marriage or your family. And so, I'm going to conclude. The blessing and the grace of God in our life, in the areas of wealth, authority and power and influence, must not be abused and turned into a curse and disgrace. Unfortunately, many ministers, after receiving rich blessing during their spiritual summer, have for some reason strayed away from their noble motive, deviate from the paths of righteousness, and losing integrity in the process. They become proud, they grow callous and intoxicated by the great success. They abuse the power, authority and gifting, become greedy and covetous. They exploit and manipulate others for selfish gain in the name of the Lord. And so 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 15 put it this way. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Therefore, do not pray, give me more. Give me more wealth, more power, more fame, more authority. Don't pray this way. And may the Lord give us the wisdom to pray this prayer. Do not give me beyond what I can handle, lest I deny and forget who is the Lord. Do not cause me to be poor, lest I'm tempted to cheat or steal and profane the name of the Lord. Give me what is allotted to me and grant me godly contentment. May we live an exemplary life that has a good name that glorifies God. Now, this is again very real. If you look at the countries, maybe not in Australia currently, but even beyond, in the United States or even big cities like Singapore, there are these things are happening before our eyes. And this is very real. And Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. And so, when we go into the big harvest, as I said, not only pastors and leaders will go through this wonderful season, but normal congregation members, because every one of us is a minister. So we need to take heed to this so-called wise counsel. The Lord help us all in having this wisdom during our time of success. God bless you. Amen.